What are you munching?
Peanuts. Bit of ASMR for you there.
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 42 of the Seal Podcast. For winging our way through June now. Summer's nearly over.
That's 2020.
It is 2020. Oh my god, I wish it was 1983. I really do. Actually, not 1983. 1982 would be better for me.
Really?
Yeah, 1983 was when I moved to England. That was a bit shit.
Dave, were you even born in 1982?
I was born in 1982, yeah.
See, that was pretty good year
for you then.
Yeah. Good year.
Yeah.
You're just shitting yourself constantly.
No one judging.
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes they're a bit proud. Oh, look, he's done a poop. You're too clever, boy. Were you born in Northampton, Dave?
I was, yeah.
Born and bred, eh? Are your family born from there? We're off already on a tangent. Let's go. I am so just off it tonight. I don't know. I'm sorry, Dave. I didn't even let you answer your question, but it's going to be one of those nights, isn't it?
Yep, it's going to be one of those nights.
Are you like, can you trace your lineage way back in Northampton?
So I know there's at least three generations of my father's side from here, and then it's from Wales or somewhere, or Dorset, or
Dorset,
yeah, Dorset, somewhere coastal. Nice. But I don't know.
I'm guessing, Neil, you can't chase Charlie back
at the minute. I can't trace anything. Definitely
Milton,
some.
Well, Milton Keynes didn't exist at 40 years
Milton
ago.
Milton Keynes is definitely not my heritage. Okay. That is where I moved to. Like, most recent heritage is Luton, and before that it was Wales. So.
Oh, nice. All right, cool.
How about you, Fred? Where are you from?
Thank you for asking. Yes.
No one cares.
Well, I mean, if we just go back straight, but for ignoring me, who's moved around or whatever. So my parents, my mum's from Colchester. She's an Essex girl.
Oh, okay.
And I think that goes back quite a way. And the funny thing is, I'm absolutely convinced it goes back way back, because I think I have a Roman nose, and Colchester was where first came in, right?
Hmm.
So I don't know. But I was very hammered when I came up with that theory. And my dad is... His dad, on his dad's side, is Lancaster, and on mum's side is Welsh. Wales.
Okay.
Yeah. So, there you go. Yeah, what a fucking week. Jeez. I wanted to just, I've said, the problem, here's the real thing I started to figure out about our recording, because we record an hour after I get back from work.
Mm.
And I don't really start enjoying the show. Like, don't take this the wrong way. I don't relax into the show until usually well into an hour or so. And it's just because work, I just think it's just fucking stressing me out. And I was going to say to Dave, you're still furloughed, right?
Yeah.
And I know you would prefer not to.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm pretty confident in saying that. But I want you to just close your eyes and just remember the fucking cunts that you have to deal with sometimes at work, and really appreciate the fact.
Fucking going for it today.
Oh my god, I'm so stressed and wound up from work. It's unbelievable. I've got a tight chest, and I just want to kill it. I've already smoked a bowl, and I'm fucking. It's not even working yet. Hasn't taken the edge off. Just remember those days and appreciate what you got. Good god, I'd swap with you in a heartbeat right now. Anyway, that's it. It's off my chest. God, fucking work. Oh, why do we even bother? Anyway, that's all.
It pays
so we can buy loads of cool PC shit.
Yeah, that's true, actually. That is true. Yeah, yeah. Get paid for it, which is something, yeah. So, speaking of PCs, so the plan was for today to talk a bit about PC gaming and building PCs. There are a couple of people who are interested, so I'm looking forward to just having a ramble about that. To that end, I don't know what you think on the format we should take. Should we just run through... I think we run through... Let's run through...
If you go through the tweets in order, I think we can just go straight into PC bollocks. It's wherever you want to talk of bollocks be first. Or if you...
Yeah, I think, though, once we get started on that, that's going to just consume us to the point where we get have to draw a line in the sand at the end and whatever, and then we're done. So I don't know whether it was... I'm wondering, you just flip it up here. Does anybody have any stuff about what they've been playing they want to talk about or what we've been doing? I've got one movie I watched and one game I've played. So, like... There we go.
I've played quite a few games, but
yeah,
several of them are demos.
Right.
Or not. I've played a lot of games, but not for very long this week.
Okay. What do you think? We can get this. I'll be the decision maker. Let's do the intro and get the what we've been doing and playing out of the way, and then we can hit the tweets.
Because that will lead into the whole PC business.
Yeah, and then anybody who wants to switch off by that point can switch off, and those who want to stay and listen, then fine. Right.
Cool.
So, what we've been doing, I'll just start, if you don't mind.
Go on.
The only thing I have really in there, apart from the fact, oh no, I finished my patio, so I suppose we should talk about that. Patio's done. Right?
Was there a lot of
noise?
Tooling.
Yes, there was. Good point, Neil. Well made. So the angle grinder came out because I had a load of nails that were sticking out of the side of the wall where the deck used to be. Grinder came out, so took those off. Beauty. Actually, I had a load of patio stones I had to shape. So the way the patio is supposed to be shaped is there's this black line of it's all like a sandy bricks and stones of different sizes, squares and rectangles, but they're different sizes. And then my wife wanted a curve for it to curve around one of the edges. And when it came to actually doing it, I realized how much work was involved in just putting a curve in. So I said to her, look, can we go up and then do a 45 and then, you know, then to the left, right? So rather than a curve, it's sort of like a 45 degree.
Like a time warp type of thing.
What do you mean?
Like I could jump to the left and then step to the right.
Somebody else, I saw that. Somebody wrote something about it. Anyway. So once I explained it to her how much work it was going to save me, she agreed to it. And so I did it that way. So obviously I was just ended up then just cutting 45 degree angle bricks. Perfect. I bought a diamond cutting blade for my circular saw, and I bought a masonry chisel. And for almost all the bricks, I ended up just doing the masonry chisel, just like tap, 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 turn it over, tap, 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 just take your time.
Tap, tap, tap.
And then eventually it just cracks open to whatever. It's not perfect, but who cares? Anyway, then the next morning, I just had one complicated one. I was hoping I wasn't going to have to use the diamond blade on my circ saw for the main reason. Well, for two reasons. One, because if I could get away without using it, I could take it back. And then because like, why not? And the other
reason. You've been spending too much time with them Scottish people.
Well, come on. And then the other reason was a guy I work with said, once you start cutting, if you're not wet cutting, if you're just dry cutting, which I was going to be doing, the dust clouds, he says, your neighbors are going to hate you. I was like, shit. So I tried to avoid it. But anyway, I had to cut one. I did dust everywhere, but I tried not to do it too early in the morning. Got her done. That diamond blade ate through the bricks. It was awesome. After that, actually, it ate through the brick I needed to do so well. I just kept using it for other things.
Just carry on.
I was like, yes, this is the business. So anyway, we got it done. Like, it's beauty, done. I'm not going to go into more detail, but I was a broken man after I'd finished it, but that's okay. Very pleased with the result.
So did you lay all the bricks? Or yeah. Just straight onto the gravel and what, use sand between them? Or?
Yeah. So we dug 10 inches down into the ground, probably put about 8 or 9 inches of gravel. I think, no, maybe 10, we dug 10 in, minimum. Yeah, 10 inches down, 10 inches of gravel. And then I laid 3 iron pipes in the gravel. And those iron pipes, I made sure were all level.
Iron?
Yeah, black iron pipes, right?
That sounds like sort of stuff that sort of rusts iron.
Yeah, well, I don't care. It's like the gas piping, black iron piping, whatever. Anyway, and then I used those pipes to draw sand across. So I would put a 2x4 across the pipes because I knew they were in where they needed to be, and then that would level the area out. And then I put my bricks on top. So it was good.
Good.
Yeah. Very pleased with it. So,
it does look good from what I saw.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Yeah. I'm looking at pictures now on Facebook.
Yeah, so it was good. and then there's more to do now. So I'm on to the next
part. Yeah, next bit. That's not your whole garden, is it?
No, then I've got steps to do down out of the... I'm doing steps tomorrow. That'd probably take a whole day with extra...
Tragedy.
Yeah, and then I've got raised beds to make and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, this done. So that's good. I thought I used some more. Oh yeah, I used the you know that saw that we convinced Chinny to buy?
The reciprocating saw.
Yeah, I used that. Yes, I used that as well to cut some plastic.
I have no idea what that will fuck with, to be honest. I can't remember.
I don't think it's a recip saw. I don't think so. Whatever. Anyway, I'm in a very good spot right now with my son. He's in the point when I am now pulling movies out, which are like, son, this is what we have to watch. This is what we have to watch. Like, we've done Terminator 3.
You've done 2.
Comedy. We did 2, yeah. We did 2 a while back, yeah. But we did 2. Yeah. Terminator 3. We've done some comedies.
We had this conversation. Ventura. Terminator 3 was the lady one.
That's right. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. So anyway, that's just to set the scene. So so I'm just pulling the movies out. What did we watch? So we watched The Rock, right?
I haven't watched that in donkeys.
Oh, mate. I haven't either. I'd forgotten really what it was like. We assumed that it was actually a family movie, so we had my daughter watching it with us at the start. That turned out to be quite a mistake. As one of the guys' face melted off from the whatever, she just said, I can't watch this, and basically was almost in tears.
Has she seen Raiders of the Lost Ark? Because it's got to be funny. The end part of that's quite fucking creepy.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, my son can see through all that now. He doesn't really bother him.
It probably looks a bit daft nowadays, but yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. My daughter really doesn't like horror and gore. Right? Whereas my son doesn't like people in distress. I don't know,
he doesn't like people kissing and stuff like that, I assume.
Oh, he doesn't like that either. Well. But he didn't complain when Nicolas Cage was railing his girlfriend on the lounge chair outside, right?
I don't remember that bit.
Yeah, no, exactly. Neither did we. We're like, oh, okay. Funny, he didn't say much when that was happening, but
he had things on his mind when that was going on.
Two people kiss, he's like, ew. It's all right. So yeah, that was quite the action movie, isn't it?
I can only really remember the end fish bit.
Yeah.
With the flares. That's the only bit I really remember from that.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It is. It's Michael Bay. So I'd forgotten how actiony it is. It was good. It was fun. Yeah, he enjoyed it. So, and here's the other thing I watched with him. We watched the first episode of Drive to Survive, that Formula One series.
Oh, okay.
Episode of season one.
Yeah.
Season 2 is way better, but season 1 was good. But season 2 is awesome.
Well, it was just good that he actually sat through it. You know, he didn't sort of like moan or complain. So it was good.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
That
too.
Is a good show.
Yeah, I think I'll watch some more of it. So.
Oh, definitely. Like I say, the first season was good, but the second season's definitely way better. It's much better. Feels like you get much more close to what's going on. Stuff like that.
Do you think they got a little bit more access?
Yeah, I think so.
Honestly, yeah. So that's me. That's me and what I've been watching. Dave?
I've hung two mirrors this week.
What, did you glue them?
No, that's sacrilege.
No, Neil's glued a mirror.
I didn't personally glue the mirror.
You said you had a small one that was glued.
I definitely have a small one, but I didn't glue it.
I had four the wavy mirrors that you get from IKEA. We had two in one room together. And we decided two of those wavy mirrors together are pretty shit. And you don't actually see much. So I rehung them. Like we put them years ago, but we hung them in the spare bedroom dressing room to make a really long mirror. It was good. I had to all measure out all that because they're wavy. You got different points of where you got to connect them, and I measured it all out. Got the drill out. Nice. It was going into the outside wall, so it was through bricks. So I had to get the old hammer on it. Couple of screws. Bosh. Done. Nice. Took me about half hour in the end. It was one of those jobs that I've been putting off. Can't be bothered. But as soon as I'd measured up what I needed, where I needed the holes and everything, he was like, but screw them in, put it up. Oh, it's done.
Yeah, it's just getting on with it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a procrastinator. I've got to be honest with all that sort of shit. I'm still painting in my back room. Fuck, it's been going on forever.
Jesus.
But flooring's coming on Monday, so progress will be made potentially on Monday. I've been painting more gloss and more bollocks like that.
So I suppose you are actually working, so and I'll let you off.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah. Not very much, but
that's an excuse you can use, but it's up to a point, right? I mean, it's like you pull that one out when you really just lose your shit and say, I'm bloody working on it, bro.
I had quite a lot to do physically paid work wise this week. I was burning, fucking came home from work twice this week. I was just like, I'm just gonna lie down.
Yeah.
So I start at like 5 a.m. I have to be at work for 5 a.m. I got home, finish at 9. So only half, it's only part time, it's only half a day. But I got home, got changed, lie on the bed, a bit tired, woke up at like fucking 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, okay, won't be getting much done today.
Is that when you quickly pop down and go, has all the kids done all their work?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, they've done all their schoolwork, have they? Yeah. Okay, sorry about that. Totally fucking sparkled. She's like, yeah, came up, you're completely sparkled. It's like, yeah.
That's fair enough, man. And like, you know what? You can't deny a lot of people the odd time where you just go, you know what? No, I can't do anything. Right? It's like, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. We all work hard. So. What do you got on your watch list?
I've got on my watch list, Hollywood. We washed through that. It was quite good. I enjoyed it. It's not a real story. It's a kind of an idealized story of a 1940s, 1950s production of a film in Hollywood. Right. And they use a few sort of real actors as characters in it. With some unknowns, and they replace the production studio. It's based on Paramount, but they call it A Studios. And it's kind of a telling of a black gay writer and a black actress and a couple of gay actors, and basically what would have happened if the studio was actually open to the idea of allowing that to be produced at that time.
I was going to say, this doesn't sound like the kind of thing that actually have happened at that sort of time.
No, it definitely didn't. But it's an idealized sort of story about if that was to happen, like how it would go down. But it was quite good.
I watched the first one, and I only watched the first one. It was a bit, my wife didn't like it.
Right.
But I thought it was okay. Very bit risque, right? You know, it's pretty racy. Yeah. Some of it's
a late night viewing.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's not for the kids, at all. But yeah, I thought it would look to be very well made.
Yeah.
Where's that on?
It's on Netflix.
All right, okay. I've not seen that come up on my recommended shit. But fun having for that.
Yes, it was good. So yeah, we went for, I think it was like 8 or 9 episodes of it, about 50 minutes each. Oh,
you've not been fucking around then?
No. No, we went through that. It was good. And that's about it, really. Not really all watched right. much else, or didn't have time.
Just not exactly related, but sort of related, is that Watchmen. I've seen a bit, I remember talking, I watched it all ages ago, on Sky. But I've seen that that's available to watch this weekend for free in most places or something. If you've got HBO, that is kind of, I don't know. It was uncomfortable maybe, but it was definitely good TV. But it's kind of probably not, I wouldn't say essential viewing, but it's definitely worth a watch at this moment in time. The subject matter that it goes through and stuff like that, considering what's going on in the world recently, it's definitely worth a watch. And
Where is it free, though?
I don't know. It's on HBO in the US. It's showing it this weekend for free. It's been getting plugged all over the place. It's out on Blu-ray and stuff this weekend.
I wonder whether they're gearing up for a second season or something.
No, there's no way that's going for a second season. They've already said that it's not going for a second season.
Oh, okay.
Although, having said that, the way things have gone the last few weeks, maybe they might make another one. Who knows? But I watched it at a time it came out over here. And
yeah, you seem to speak
highly. It was a challenging watch maybe at times, but it's definitely worth watching. And I definitely felt like it was worth watching, and I enjoyed what I watched of it, the whole lot. And can be definitely worth a watch at the moment.
Good.
It's been a while since I watched that, but I did watch a new thing that I started watching. I haven't carried on with my stuff that I watched last week. But I watched a show that I've heard mentioned on the CADcast and possibly somewhere else. I don't know. This is like it's on iPlayer. Actually, no, it's on Netflix. I don't know. It's probably possibly on iPlayer because this is from the BBC. It's Giri Haji from Duty Strike Shame. It's Japanese. A lot of Japanese subtitles and stuff like that. Well, English subtitles.
Right.
In Japanese. And but yeah, it's like a Japanese cop, there's been some weird noise going on in the background in my house. It's like a Japanese cop is the sort of main character, and his brother is Yakuza, and then it's like the Japanese cop has to come to London and stuff like that. So I've only watched the first episode.
Does he have to team up with some English cop?
Not yet. I've only watched the first one, but it looks interesting. I don't know how many episodes are available. It's on Netflix UK. I don't know where it is elsewhere.
If he had to come, if you were writing it, and he had to come to London, but he got put together with like a British special branch.
What, like someone from The Bill?
Yeah, but who would it be? Who would be the best person to put in that role?
It would be way better if it was from The Bill rather than the special branch.
Somebody from The Bill. Be Tucker, right? Like Tucker.
Whatever. Tucker Jenkins.
Todd Carty.
He was in The Bill, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's been in it. Well, it's British. He's probably one of those guys who's been in every British series. He's probably been in everything that's British made.
I don't know. He was definitely in EastEnders. I don't know. I'm not sure if he was in
the
Bill.
Yeah, but there's that sort of, it's almost like a royal triangle.
What was his name? Dave EastEnders. Something. Oh, I've just spotted a nice looking spider on my wall. Sorry. Anyway.
Did we watch Giri Haji?
I couldn't say for certain. The first episode was not a great deal happened, but it's kind of like the first part of his origin in Japan, Tokyo, and then he goes off to England and London. So I'm intrigued to see how it goes. But
I could definitely watch that. I love watching subtitled stuff. I love
Exactly. A load of it's all Japanese with English subtitles. I was like, yeah, this is right up my street. I love all this. So,
yeah, cool. All right.
I'm interested to see where it goes.
All right, Giri Haji, then. Let's all get on that. Okay, should we go into what we've been playing? I'm just going to drive this. Let's drive it, boys. Go on. Go on. One of you with your massive lists can start.
Well, we both played Valiant.
Valorant.
Valorant, didn't we?
Yeah, me and you played. Yeah, Fraser the Traitor obviously didn't bother.
I haven't uninstalled it yet.
Oof,
vicious.
It's all right. it's basic. Well, it's very similar to a game I played today, which is the alpha for Rogue Company.
No, see, I haven't got around to playing it.
Is that you tweeted about earlier or whatever?
Yeah, it's very similar. It's basically, I think this is 4v4 rather than 5v5. A CS:GO clone.
Right.
So they're both very similar. You choose characters, they've got slightly different abilities and different access to different weapons. Valorant's a bit more mystical.
Okay.
I think that's the way to put it, isn't it? They've got special abilities.
It's definitely not sort of stuff that normal human beings would do.
No.
And I'm sorry just to interject, but I think this is an interesting question. Are we done now with these games? Like, does it not feel like we're getting bombarded now by free-to-play sort of team-based or whatever, or fighters? Am I missing something, or have these games always been around? It's just like these games, there's too many games relying on grabbing all that player base.
Lot of competition out there at the moment, that's for certain. And even not just free to play but paid games.
Yeah, it just strikes me, this Rogue Company, like you both, you're saying, sort of like a Valorant CS:GO. I mean, we've seen, you know,
Seen anything of Rogue Company.
How many Overwatch clones have been coming out now? Everybody's
The thing is, Valorant's not Overwatch, no way. Like, as much as it's got weird abilities, like not sort of normal stuff, the shooting part of it is not like Overwatch. Is like people take a lot of shooting to die in Overwatch, whereas Valorant, you can get like bang, one shot to the head and you could be dead.
Yeah.
So the skill level is different.
I'm not saying that Rogue Company. It's not so much the fact that they're not the same games and they all have their quirks or whatever like that, but how much space is there for all these games?
I think it helps if you're free to play in the first place.
Yeah, I think it's got to not only be free to play on PC, because, you've got to get it on consoles. But even now, there's so much free to play on the consoles that I wonder if there is a market for these games. How much do they need to keep rolling over every month?
Yeah, I'd see. Go back. Well, I mean, the market's obviously different, right? So if we go back maybe 2 to 3 years and there was only really one free-to-play shooter that was on all the consoles, and it was that, I can't even remember what it was called now, but it was like this, you know, one guy, blue guy or whatever. You'd know it when you see it. But now there's tons, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't Apex is free? Overwatch is free.
Overwatch is not free, but it's usually you can pick it up for basically.
Oh, I did pay for Overwatch. Yeah, that's a regret.
Yeah. It's like about £7 or £8 usually.
Call of Duty, Warzone, Fortnite. There's so many decent free games available.
I watched a game earlier today that I've never heard of that was free on Xbox, and it's on Switch, bizarrely. It's called Vigor, V-I-G-O-R.
Right.
And it looked like, I'm not quite sure what type. I literally watched about 5 minutes. It was watch this game to get so many reward points on Microsoft. So I was flicking through that sort of shit. I was like, oh, I just watched it. I was like, actually, this looks like it's quite cool. Oh, it's only available on Xbox. Can't be asked.
Right.
But that looks all right. Look, a kind of, I don't know if it was like a Daisy Escape from I don't know.
So is Rogue Company any good, Dave?
It's another one of these games. It's okay. Yeah, if you like those
this is,
games.
This is early access, though. So this is
alpha, full release. Yeah. But you can get the general gist of what it's going to be like. It's
what it wants to be.
Yeah, it's not a first person. It's a third person just behind the shoulder. At the moment, you can only be behind the right shoulder. And you can't turn it out, can't swap shoulders. So that's a bit annoying. But you can cheese it a little bit, i.e. hide behind cover and kind of see when people are popping out.
Pop out the right side of cover.
Obviously. Yeah. it's okay. There's a buy system. You buy weapons. Depending on which
character. Is it round based, a bit like Valorant?
Round based, yeah, out of nine, or first to five. And it's like sometimes some rounds you've got objectives that you've got to defend or you've got to attack, and it's a strong okay. If you like these kind of games, they are sending out codes. I think it's on Twitter.
It was through SteelSeries that we picked up a thing.
I saw Neil sent the or one of you, I think it was Neil, wasn't it, who sent the link to the free codes. I opened it up, said, here you go, press here for a code. It went, no, you need to log in, register account. I'm like, I'm out, that's it. Just give me a fucking code.
You had to be a SteelSeries member, I think it was. Which I was already, because I have SteelSeries like mouse and headphones and keyboard and all that shit. So I just had to log in and claim my code.
If I can get a couple of hundred people buying stuff for it every month, I guess that will tick over. But I played three games of it, I was in a team of four, and there was two people talking, and their sentiment after a couple of games as well was like, yeah, this is okay as an alpha, but they're not going to be playing anymore. And I've got my fill after three. If there's any major updates, maybe I'll look. But it's just going to be a team-based,
it's almost like... Well, you came in and played some PUBG with us this week, right? It was good fun. I don't know about you. I thought those games we had were great. They were not short of action, and that was a good, they were good games. Right now, what else are we going to play? Do we want to go off and start playing something else? I would say
yes. Yes, you do.
I know you always do, but my point is, from my point of view anyway, it's just I just don't have room. Unless something really is going to just come and knock my socks off.
The thing is, PUBG is quite basic at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like pick up the guns and shoot the guns. Like, there's no weird abilities. You have to pick up. It's real quotes realistic. Like, there's no, like in Valorant, it's like you've got different characters who do different stuff, and you need to learn those characters to get the best out of it. I don't know anything about Rogue Company yet. I might have a look at it. I claimed my alpha key or whatever. I think I downloaded it, but I didn't get as far as playing it because I've had quiz night tonight. So,
hence why you got drunk.
Zoom quiz, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I'll try it. I probably won't.
We
got a big okay from Dave. I'm like, okay. Well, if Dave came on and was going, yeah, it's great, man, you guys got to try it, whatever, then I'd give him some false hope that I'd play it. what else you got, Dave? Unless you want anything, are we good for Rogue Company?
Hang on. What else? State of Decay on Game Pass on the PC. State of Decay 2.
Yeah.
Juggernaut.
So I've had this downloaded for fucking about 2 years, it feels like. I've not actually got around to playing it.
So they re-released the Juggernaut edition, which is all the DLCs and updates. So there's a few graphical updates and gameplay updates. I played a couple of hours of it today. Right. I haven't played it before. It seemed really good. I kind of got the idea that it was a base building zombie. So it's a third person zombie game where you've got to sort of build up your base and sort out your characters. I kind of liked it.
Yeah,
did you play the first one?
Huh?
No, did you play the first one?
No.
Keep up, Neil. You said you didn't.
Sorry, I missed that.
I played the first one for probably an hour, but it didn't grab me. I can't remember why. But I remember State of Decay 2 got quite a fanfare. Like that came in with quite a drop, right? A lot of people talking about it.
It's funny. I've always wanted to sort of buy it and download it and play it, but I never got round to purchasing it. But now it's on Game Pass. I'll chuck that on. Also, I've put about 60 hours into Elite this week. But
yeah, I noticed actually. Yeah, I forgot. Elite. Late too, eh? Burning that midnight oil.
Well, yeah.
Fall asleep and just carry on playing, did you?
It's just been doing the engineering. All the engineering sort of stuff that I've got to be getting to upgrade my engineers to do my ships. I don't know what actually is the end game to this yet, but I'm just going through the motions.
Plodding along.
So I haven't. I literally bought
it's
that.
Work, isn't it? It's bizarre. It's almost like, yep, that's your job right now. Sorting that out. That's what Animal Crossing for me was like. And where at the end, it felt like a job, and I was okay with it.
Yeah.
Even though you had a job.
That's because probably why I like this job better.
It's less depressing.
Going around shaking a tree for apples. There you go. I got paid. Tom Nook, he wants like some serious coin off me, but he's not hassling me. He's not sending anyone around to break my legs. And all I have to do is go shake this tree, grab a couple of apples.
Sorry. What? He's not going to break your legs. How do you work in Canada? Normally, is that like a thing? Like if you don't work, you get your legs broken.
Well, if you don't pay people, what do you expect? When's the last time
I don't expect to get my legs broken.
Depends who you owe, mate.
Is that how your banks work in Canada? I thought it was all like pretty chilled over there. You know, it's like, you can't pay this month. Just pay us next month.
Don't worry, see if somebody be out there fishing, they pull up me out of there.
So, come on, Neil, what you got left? What you got games you got?
Well, I played shitload. I played a load of stuff, but not for very long this week. We played Valorant. I enjoyed what time I played of Valorant.
Yeah. I enjoyed playing the game with you more than I enjoyed playing the game.
Right. Yeah. That's just because I'm a, enigmatic character.
You are.
and you understanding what I said is pretty much a major accomplishment at this moment in time.
You did well.
But other than that, I have played. Right, there was a Game Pass quest on Descenders, which was the mountain biking game.
I
played it before.
A lot of people rate that really highly.
It's all right, it's all right. It helps when there's a quest to go, if you do this, you get 25 points and it'll give you closer to getting your 1,000 points for your monthly quest.
Okay, I'm just going to tell you something here, right? And I just want you to, and this is just me admitting, I'm not ashamed of this, is that, that's right, we loaded up and started playing a game on Game Pass. And it went up and went, collect your daily whatever doobie-doos, right? And Stan goes, you got to click that. And I went, no, I don't. He goes, yeah, you need to go. You're going to get some points and then you can get some free money and stuff. I said, Stan, let me just tell you something. Let me tell you a story about Darth Neil the Wise, who's obsessed with all that. I said, I'm not going. And I tried to explain to him. I said, "It's you can, right? I said, Stan, I just can't. I can't become obsessed with that. I just don't have time in my life to be busting my ass to get Game Pass points.
Yeah, honestly, really, you're not busting your ass.
No way, Fisher.
They're all really easy. Literally, one of them this month for the weekly game with the weekly quest was something like start the truck on what's the totally reliable delivery service. I was like, I don't even know what that is, really. I know what it is, but I don't really care about playing it. So I literally, as I loaded the fucking game, it went, whoop, Game Pass quest, ready to add it. I was like, cool, I don't even need to fucking play this game. It fucking gave me the points. So you don't even, you literally have to open the game sometimes for it to
work.
That's
fair enough. That's fair enough. I suppose I'd be curious if, has it ever, like, told you to go, well, is this, oh, it's doing this now. Like, so you went and play, it's making you go play Descenders, and are you getting value? You're getting value
and
out of that, yeah.
I got something, let's just say, it's nothing. It's 25, whatever, Microsoft reward points, but it's a step closer to getting me 1,000 reward points.
No, but my question is
I actually enjoyed what I played of it. So
that's what I want to know.
It was like, it was actually, it's an all right game. It plays a shitload better on my PC, I swear I said this last time, than it does on the Xbox.
Oh, okay.
Well, at least my old Xbox, because I've got
crappy Xboxes,
duddy old Xboxes from day one. On your Xbox One X, it probably plays pretty sweet. Xbox One S, I haven't got one, so I can't compare that. But my original Xbox, it does not play as well. No question about that. But even on there, once you get used to the kind of chunky frame rate, and your controls are obviously affected by the chunky frame rate, it's all right. I quite like it. It's like, it's not trials exactly, but you're doing it, you're like downhill mountain biking. So, but there'll be like jumps that you have to, you can do like backflips, front flips, 360 rotations and stuff. It's pretty basic, but it's all right. It's kind of like,
yeah, that's what I heard. I heard it was all
it's
right.
Got decent music. Yeah. Like if you like a bit of drum and bass and all that, it's like drum and, like okay. Sort of chilled out drum and bass soundtrack. It's like, it's pretty cool. It's all right. Like it.
Okay. Yeah,
it's definitely that. Like if you're fucking, you know what, if you're just sitting there and you want to fucking get out and do something on a sofa, it's good for a half an hour, whatever. So I certainly I won't slam it. No, I think it's pretty good. And you get 25 reward points.
Right, right, come on.
I've got a 3 month of Game Pass Ultimate ready to go. If I carry on going where I'm going, I'm going to get 3 months worth of Game Pass Ultimate.
At what price? Never mind. Come on, we just know. Okay.
It's not a price. I'm playing games and I'm having fun. Okay, it's not really a price, is it?
Okay. Being addicted to it.
So, at the moment on Steam, there are an absolute shed load of demos, which is not kind of normal. Because it's what is it called? Summer Game Fest, is it, or something like that on Steam?
Don't know.
What does it say?
I don't know.
The Steam Game Festival Summer Edition, which is on until the 22nd of June. So only 3 days left.
Oh, now through.
Yeah. So there are something like 1,000 games we've got demos that don't normally have demos or something stupid. Loads of games that that aren't out yet that have got demos. So I downloaded a few. There's a few that I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I'll have a go at that. I have managed to play a couple of them.
Okay.
Tesla Force, which is like a twin stick shooter. I wasn't too impressed with this one, to be honest. I was like, it looked cool, sounded pretty cool, but when it played it, I was like, it's a bit meh. So, like I say, it's like an over.
With science as your superpower.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it'll get better when it gets to release, but I was a bit like, yeah, I played these games, I don't know how many times. And it was only okay.
Yeah, but that's an only okay. Oof, not a solid okay.
No, only okay. Hang on, I've not written one down here that I've played a demo of. Anyway, then I played Desperados 3 demo.
Okay.
And Desperados 3 just came out
as
a full release. So this is actually out. And did you ever play Commandos? You play Commandos, you remember that? It was like a over the top.
You mean Commando?
No, not Commando. Well, similar view to Commando, but this was Commandos. There was like three of them. It was sort of an Amiga era game.
Okay.
And it was like a. It's like a. Sort of like a stealth game. You're sort of controlling like a. Well, one or two or three maybe in Commandos. Can't really remember. It's a bit while ago, but you're kind of. You're watching it and they've got like. It's a stealth game. So you're sort of looking at it from a bird's eye view and you can see like the enemies have got like vision cones that are going round. So you can like, you've got to time your movements and stuff like that. So Desperados 3 is similar, except it's based in the Wild Wild West. And sometimes you're not stealthy. Like you can set up, what was the game? Splinter Cell had like one of the games had like mark and execute.
Right.
So you can do that in this Desperados game. You can like hold shift, or I think it is on PC, and you like click one enemy, click the second enemy, and then like press hold let go of shift and press enter, and it will go like bang bang, shoot the guy, two guys, and assuming they're not in audible range of any other enemies, you'll have fucking nailed them two fuckers and you can progress to the next sort of step of the game. But like I say, I've only played the demo for a little bit. I ain't played loads of it. Looks like it's pretty cool. I only played it for about half an hour to an hour. So I basically played through the tutorial, got to grips of the sort of mechanics of the game, and I was like, yeah. But that's actually out. But at the same, I was like, it's out, but it's quite expensive for that type of game.
It's $50, according to
Yeah, me. Exactly. I'm looking at that game thinking, if it was like half the price, I might be tempted to buy it. But for that
well,
type
good,
of...
that's a good, you know, that's not a bad thing to say straight off. That, you know, that, like you're saying it's all right then.
It was good, and it looks pretty good. It's definitely got like... good production values and all that sort of stuff. Especially, it's decent, and there's good acting and all that sort of stuff. But at the same time, I was a bit like, I'm not sure I'd pay full whack sort of for this game. It's kind of like a pick it up on sale, or if you can pick it up cheap. So yes, at £45. What did you say? £60? Is that $60? Your Canadian?
That's $50 on Steam here.
Right, That's probably cheapish for Canadians. It's £45 in the UK. I was like, £45? Not sure about that.
Yeah, we're getting a much better deal then.
Yeah. Yeah. 50 Canadian is not too bad, but £45, that's not sort of like the sort of exchange rate I'm expecting. But yeah, it's good, but I ain't paying £45.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I was going to say quickly, talking about that one, just reminded me of a game called Monster Train. I don't know if you've seen it.
I've seen this. I've heard a lot about this, and I was going to mention this to Fraser because it sounds right up your Slay the Spire street.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Monster Train, strategic roguelike deck building with a twist.
Oh, it looks fucking good. I've got this on my wish list.
Really? Overwhelmingly.
Yeah. It's only about £20.
Oh man, it does look good. Straight away, I'm just thinking that looks that looks interesting.
Yeah.
Train. All right. Okay.
Sorry, I just thought I'd interject that right now I remembered it.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. We'll have to tell Matt about that too.
Yeah, and there's another game which I've downloaded a demo for, but I didn't get around to playing it because I didn't realize there was a demo called Griftlands. Griftlands. That you might be interested in as well, because that's another card game.
Okay.
It was on Epic. It's about, I think it's about a tenner on Epic at the minute. And in fact, actually on Steam, it's about a tenner. That sounds interesting. Similar. It's a card game, but a bit of a twist on it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Monster Train, I heard someone raving about it. I was like, basically, it was like, excuse me, Slay the Spire, but, not necessarily better, but
somebody's,
slightly different.
Yeah, somebody there said it's like, what did they say? It was a good review quote, actually. It says, Slay the Spire's younger, happy-go-lucky brother.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. It sounds like it might be harder.
Okay. Well,
but, yeah. I heard someone.
I never thought Slay the Spire was that easy. All right, next.
Where did I get to? So I've done my two demos. Desert Descenders. So I played a game called Avicii Invicta. So you know who Avicii is?
No.
You've known his music if you've listened to the radio in the last fucking 10 years. So he's passed away.
Yeah, he's the Swedish DJ who died. Or
yeah, he passed away in the last couple of years. Can't remember when it was exactly, but yeah, very young, really. Pretty popular. And not necessarily right up my street musically, but all right. And they've made a game based on his music. And it's like a rhythm action game type of thing.
Right.
Game wise, it was okay. It was, I found it, you know, I can't, what was a sort of, what did you kind of say? No, it's not like Dance Dance Revolution type of thing or whatever, where you press in like direction keys or whatever on your joypad. But I found it a little frustrating. Like, you've got certain keys you need to press at the right time, basically, and it's quite forgiving. In terms of your rhythm and your whiteness, how shit you are at that sort of thing. But sometimes it just doesn't tell you what you need to do. And you, like, whereas it will say, sometimes it give you like the button prompt or the direction prompt you need to press. Sometimes it doesn't give you that. And that's when it goes a bit wrong. But generally, I was like, if you like that kind of music, if you like his music, it's all right. You can play through his tunes. There's quite a lot of music there.
Yeah.
And visually, it's very nice. And there's some weird story going on at the same time. But like I say, occasionally I found it a little frustrating. It's like you need to press left on the left stick, but it doesn't literally tell you you need to do that. Whereas sometimes it does tell you you need to do that. It's like, well, why can't you just fucking tell me that I need to do that? I'd probably be having more fun. So it's like 90% there to being good. But if you're into those,
if it pops up on Game Pass,
I got it on Amazon Games via like Twitch Prime. So I play Amazon Prime, so I get a load of shit. Load of fuck. I've got like, fuck knows how many free games everywhere. What was it I said to you the other day? I've got over 100 games on Epic Games from basically, I've paid for about 6 of them. Similarly with Twitch, because I pay for Amazon Prime every month, I claim all the free games from there, and this was one of those. And like I say, it's 90% the way there to being a good game, but this is just a little bit like, why didn't you tell me? At the same time, sometimes it does tell you where you need to go, and it's really fucking confusing. I'm like, I can't cope. But yeah, it was all right. Like I say, good ish.
All right.
Last thing I have played was a game that came to Game Pass. What was it? Thursday?
Yeah, West of Dead. I downloaded it yesterday.
Yeah, I like this game.
I didn't play it yet.
I like it. It's roguelike.
What is it?
West of Dead.
Yeah, West of Dead. So you West are dead. And it's based in the Wild West. So like you're yourself, this like afterlife version of yourself. And it's all like cowboy based sort of thing, sort of weapons. And so what I've played of it so far, I'm liking it. It's like,
do you know what it looks like to me? It strikes me as being quite similar to my friend Pedro, that sort of like...
I have not played that, to be honest.
Small areas, but you just need to sort of wing your way through these areas, shooting.
I don't know about small, like the, some of the areas can go on. Like basically, I have completed the first level multiple times, but the second level is quite a lot more difficult. As you go through, depending on where you go, each time you play, it's procedurally generated. So you will start always with the same kind of weapons. And if whichever way you go through that level, you may pick up better weapons. At the, if you find the exit to that level, you get a chance to spend some currencies that you may have gained through that level. The amount of currency that you've gained through that level will depend on how many enemies you've killed and possibly something else that I haven't worked out yet, because there's two currencies.
Do you get to keep your currency even if you die?
No. Okay. Once you die, you start anew from level one again. But actually, let me correct that. One of the currencies is like a permanent unlock. But if you lose it before you get to spend it, then you've lost it, as far as I can work out so far. So you've got iron is one currency and sin is a second one. You earn a lot of iron as you play through, basically as you kill other enemies. And sin, I don't know how you earn it, to be honest, but you earn a lot less. And when you finish a level, you get to spend your sin at the witch. It might be a witch doctor. I can't remember if it's a witch or a witch doctor. I can't remember, whatever. But once you've spent that sin, and you won't be able to progress until you've spent all of your sin, you can unlock stuff permanently. But then when you hit level two, whatever sin you gain from then on, if you don't complete level two, you lose it. And you start again from the very beginning. Like a typical roguelike type of thing.
Do you like it?
I do. I like the shooting. I like the way you progress so far. I've not really got very far. I've not played it a lot, to be honest. But I don't feel unfairly treated. You know, sometimes these games can be really harsh. But I feel like I can make a bit of progress. And if I'm clever, I can probably go, I'm not going to go through that room because I'm really low on health. I need to try and find a different way. There's not that many different paths you can take, but sometimes if you take a different path, you might find the exit.
Right.
And go, actually, that's a good idea. I can take the exit now. And I can, once you exit whatever level you completed that level, you can regain all your health. During the levels that you play, you'll have the opportunity to upgrade your health, upgrade your damage of weapons, and upgrade your sort of melee abilities and stuff like that. So there's three main sort of upgrade paths as you can progress. Every time you start anew, those reset, but you may have unlocked enough of these other things to offset a couple of those things. So yeah, there's a bit of stuff. Really cool narrated story going on at the same time.
The narration's really cool.
Stylistically, it's really nice. So yeah, I like it a lot from what I've played so far.
Okay, so what I'm going to say there is just hold that then, and I'm going to play more of it. It's on Game Pass, so maybe Dave will play more of it too, or some of it, or at all. So maybe we can come.
I saw it on now. I didn't kind of.
It's only like. It's only like an 800 meg or something as well.
It's really small. I don't know how long it takes to complete it, potentially, but
So
it's decent.
Okay, so if we can, let's push West of Dead to next week as well, because hopefully we'll have more to talk about it then. Mm. I'm absolutely busting for a piss. I am going to honestly urinate all over this chair in a minute.
Right.
So
that sounds like a good moment for all to take a freshman break.
So let's take a break, and then we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Okay, let's pick up from where we left off. I had one thing left, actually, before.
You never talked about Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, well, there isn't much to mention about Kingdom Hearts. I mean, everybody knows Kingdom Hearts, right? Final Fantasy crossed with Disney. Actually, which so far anyway. So I thought I'd fire up Kingdom Hearts 3, and actually, it wasn't as good as I expected it to be.
Have you played the previous ones?
I think I did play quite a bit of the first one.
There's about 20, but there's only 3 apparently.
Yeah, I don't understand all that, but anyway, the big point about Kingdom Hearts 3 is if you like it, good. It's not bad. I mean, I would like to have played it more, except for the save corrupted and I couldn't save my game. So I was like, what? I went to different save points and it just would not recognize that I was saving the game. Like, it gave me the slots, save slots, save. It would say saving the game, bing, and it would make its noise and there would be nothing in the save slot. I was like, maybe it's saved. It's just not telling me.
Are you playing on Xbox?
Yeah. Anyway, so I went to another save point and it was the same again. And so I finally was like, well, I'm going to shut the game off. And I loaded it back up and my saves were not there. I was like, well, you're done. Uninstall.
You can fuck right off.
We can fucking go. Yeah, right. So that was that. It's a bit disappointing, but I probably...
You may have dodged a bullet there.
Maybe. I sort of wanted to play a bit more. It wasn't turn-based. I thought it was turn-based, but maybe I'm remembering it wrong. It wasn't turn-based.
All I know about this is weird. It's basically it's like Final Fantasy crossed with Disney. Like, okay, but like what?
Yeah, that's sort of the appeal.
Just old duck do some weird special move, like summon some random monster or something. Like, I don't know.
Well, I'm not
it's a bit of a strange concept.
Yeah, I'm not really going to find out and whatever. So we won't dwell on that. Anyways, yeah, that was a bit poor. I'm a little bit pissed off about that, but whatever. Let's move on then to the tweets, and then this will work our way through to PC discussion. I think that's us done, right?
All right.
First off, we'll start with Matt Empower 343 says, thoughts on EA Play in general. It was so lacking. I honestly believe they're holding game announcements back for the MSX July show. I have to admit here, I didn't watch EA Play. I missed it. I just didn't get around to watching it. So I don't know whether you...
I had my big monster kip on Thursday. So I was awake when EA Play was on. So I watched it. And let's see if I can remember what happened without referring to it. It was usual EA stuff, I guess. What I did notice... They're throwing a little throwback to their Electronic Arts days,
right?
With the like the square, the sphere, and the pyramid like logo. It's like, is that the thing they've been doing? I don't know. Really, don't know if that's the thing they've been doing recently. But I certainly remember that from way back when they were Electronic Arts,
when people liked them.
Yeah, when they were on the Commodore 64 and all that sort of shit.
Which may be the answer to your question.
But they did show some footage from the new Star Wars Squadrons game, which looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw people talking about that. I watched the trailer. I was like, okay. I mean,
I'll be interested to see what it turns out to be in terms of what a game it is, because if it turns out to be Battlefront 2 fighter type controls, it's probably not going to be that good. But if it's a new game with its own like control method, it might be decent. If it's a throwback to the older X-Wing V TIE Fighter and all that sort of stuff, they were good concepts, probably held back by the technology of the time. But at the time, pretty fucking awesome.
A lot of people rate TIE Fighter, I think, as one of the best.
Yeah, well, X-Wing V TIE Fighter was the last one of those, and I think that has got the most respect probably over time. But X-Wing, when it first came out, was a revelation, and TIE Fighter was definitely a step up, and then X-Wing V TIE Fighter was another step up from there, and it had that whole multiplayer. You can be in an X-Wing fighter versus TIE Fighters, and that's what people kind of like. Seems a pretty cool concept.
Yeah.
Even nowadays, with the sort of additions that we've had to the space fighters that they have now in the new Star Wars universe. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. It'll probably be available in EA Access Premier. Oh, well, that was a bit of a side note. Fucking tons of EA games coming to Steam, aren't there?
I think that's one of the... Well, that pushes us on to Stuart Cullen's email. So let's say that we're not sort of like just drawing a line under Matt's here, but we're rolling it into Stuart's, because Stuart says, with EA fully, and I mean fully, embracing crossplay, will it now be the standard for all third-party next-gen games? He has an extra bit there, but we can... I mean, so...
Certainly, it seems like EA are definitely... they've had a, let's be honest, they've had a pretty bad reputation, haven't they? And they, I think, were once voted the worst fucking company in the world at some point, weren't they? But, you know, as much as Xbox had a shit showing fucking 7 years ago or whatever, EA have been on that whole sort of back foot, trying to be, let's come back, you know, we're not really terrible people, come and play our games, kind of sort of tack for that. Like, they always make a point of, there's no microtransactions in this game, you know, yeah, kind of. Since the whole Star Wars Battlefront 2 debacle when it first launched. So they're kind of on a PR exercise and at the same time trying to make good games.
Matt says, are they holding games back for the MSX July show? What is that?
I don't know what else they would hold back. They had Madden, they had FIFA, sort of. I think we may see a bit more of those, maybe, at the Microsoft concert show, whatever it is. I think the July one, though, Microsoft one, is basically, well, there'll be mostly Microsoft stuff, I think, in July. Is what the sort of
so this is just that will be their replacement for not having an E3, right? So.
Yeah, but then like at E3, they don't just do Microsoft stuff at E3. They do like they'll link up with EA, they'll link up with whoever.
Yeah, that's true.
And show a bit of stuff. So maybe there'll be some more EA stuff there. Who knows?
All right. Okay. He said, and Stuart also says, with Apex Legends. Sorry. And with
Apex Legends coming to Switch.
Coming to the Switch, will we ever see it on Stadia? And could Stadia capitalize on EA's cross-play future vision? Could they?
I don't know. Feels a bit like that's dying a death, isn't it?
What?
Stadia. Not that it was ever really going anywhere.
They're giving it a good go. I'll give them that.
Are they, though? I feel like they could probably do better. They're on a sort of 3 out of 10 at the minute.
What do they need to do then? What do you reckon?
Fuck knows what they need to do, really. Like
something killer, right?
Sort the entire world's internet out.
They need
to start with.
They need a massive fuck off exclusive.
They need a Last of Us 2.
The only way that they could give themselves a massive kickstart, get to a third party, get your Google money out, your tight fit, get the Google crowbar out to open your Google wallet, and then get some serious coin down for a massive release and just have it Stadia exclusive. Or all they're going to do is pay for Stadia exclusives like for a month ahead of their consoles. That's got to be doable, hasn't it? That's a great idea.
I'm not sure a month is enough. I think they need to be like, no, they need proper exclusives, like,
okay,
like of which they need to try and do something that literally won't be possible on another platform, or B, just be so amazing that go, oh, fucking hell, I just need to have that now. Which, like, what is that going to be?
What's the net phrase for those titles that are just absolutely brilliant on consoles or whatever like that? Like Halo is a typical example. What do they call that? Like not a console seller. I'm sure there's a better word for it, right?
You know, yeah, I know what you mean.
That's what they mean.
It's a USP.
Yeah.
Unique selling point or something, isn't it?
Uninterrupted supply power.
Maybe they could start there. I don't know.
All right. So I'm going to keep us moving because I'm wary of time. Antonio, Heavy Evil, great guy. Good to hear from you again, sir. Says, since it's topical, The Last of Us 2, discuss.
Ooh, I never played the first one.
What?
I know.
Right, I don't remember playing the first one because I was drunk.
I do remember playing the first one, and I never thought it was as great as everyone says it was.
Okay.
We probably all need to play the second one before we talk about it, to be fair.
I've seen adverts and it looks good.
Yeah, but The Last of Us you should definitely play. Like, it's a great game. Don't get me wrong. It's a great game. To me, it's like Breaking Bad. Is it that really that good that everyone's just jizzing over? I just think everyone just gets together.
You can't not play it without having an opinion. So
yeah, I guess, yeah.
I guess the second one is it needs to be played before have a proper opinion. I've heard a lot of things about it without going into spoilers. I've avoided as much as I can hearing what actually happens during the game. I've heard a lot of people have opinions on it. And there's clearly things in there that, I don't know, people... Yeah. Probably want to see when they play a video game, I guess.
Which
are going to cause people to say things on the internet that they want to say. But maybe at the end of the day go, it's just a fucking game. If you don't like it, tough shit.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, I think you're the wrong place for us finding it topical. I don't think we give a shit. That's just generally like you've probably three people.
I wouldn't know about that. I want to play it, but... I need to play the first one again before I play the second one.
Right, but are you going to get drawn into the drama of it all?
No, definitely not.
Right, then that's what.
Not until I've played it.
What I'm saying is Antonio's throwing in here something like, you know, the drama of it. I'm not interested in the drama of it, right? So,
yeah. You
know. Is it topical? I don't know.
There's definitely a lot of chit-chat going on about it. If you want to go there and look at it, I'm sure you can.
I guess it's a good distraction away from the real world at the moment. That's fine.
Yeah, maybe. But I want to play it before I really have too many thoughts.
You're the only one amongst us who has a PlayStation 4 anyway, right?
Oh, no, I have one.
No, Dave's got one.
Oh yeah, Dave's
But got he hasn't one. Played the first one, so he's got a lot of catching up to do, to be honest. Xbox, right? Yeah. It's got like 30 hours of catching up to do before he gets...
You should go buy Last of Us on the cheap. The first one and play that. Brilliant. Yeah, it is good. It's really good.
Maybe there's a way I could share it. I don't know, for nothing.
Well, you got digital.
I have got the digital version on PS4.
Yeah. Ooh.
I'm not sure how that works.
Or Dave could just go buy it for £5.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Instead of spending 10 hours.
I feel like I should probably play it again because, like I say, I was pretty hammered the first time. I bought it on PS4 for
wasn't PS4 was the remastered, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I played it on PS3 and I was drunk when I finished it and I don't really remember anything. But I bought it on PS4 going, yeah, I'm definitely going to play that again. I don't know how long that's been since I've not played it again. But
yeah. Okay. Antonio, thanks very much, mate. It's good to hear from you. Okay, moving along, and this is where we start our PC section, I think. Jesus Christ, you know what? I need to go to the toilet again. Fuck.
Wait, you're getting too old.
Oh, it's not. It's not that. Okay. Well, it is. I am. I just drank a load of water before I started. Big club soda and everything. It's just going straight through me. Anyway, fuck that. So Jay sent a question in. Saying, I want to play Planet Coaster. Actually, should we just talk about how all this started, really? Were we just going to talk about it, or it was just a coincidence?
Well, I can't remember how we've put it off a week already about the PC talk, because we said we're going to talk about PC builds. And then Jay was clearly... He's in the mood to play a certain game, which is only available currently on PC.
Yeah, I just want to be careful, because there was also... Welsh Benno from Twitter. He was asking questions too, so
he's in a slightly different place from what I remember in terms of the amount you're willing to spend on a PC.
Okay, so we'll come back. Let's start with Walsh Benno. So he was asking about, he has on Twitter, he says, I think I'll have a listen to your podcast. I was looking at getting a pre-built machine, but perhaps I should check out building one myself. I wonder if the price difference is worth the hassle. So I think from this point of view, there's two things to talk about. What's the advantage of building your own machine? Oh, and what I also wanted to do is just maybe we just cover what we've done in the past anyway, like Dave, you and me have all done stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we have experience of building machines.
And buying, you know, pre-built.
I'm a professional PC engineer. I have qualifications about it. Well.
You got papers.
I've got the paperwork to prove it. So yeah, I've been a PC engineer and in the IT world professionally for near on 20 years now.
Dave, I'm going to say something, Dave, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I know lots of people who work in IT, and you're the only one I think who actually knows what the fuck they're doing.
I have a passion for it, so I enjoy what I do. There's a lot of people that work in the industry and don't have computers at home, or the people that I've worked with and I think are the best people to talk to about computers are people that play computer games, who want to keep up with the latest updates and innovations and basically things to do to make your computer the best, to play the computer games the best, basically. And it's only those people that actually enjoy and have a passion about PCs and building and the hardware and making sure everything works correctly. Because if it doesn't, then your games don't work. So you're not enjoying your passion, which is computer games. And it's anybody I've worked with, it's been exactly the same. Like, people can do the job of being a PC engineer or working in IT, but unless they actually, like, they're doing it as a side job to play computer games. Like, they're not worth their salt in it. So yeah, my history in computers is the first time I was ever interested in PCs is when I broke my mum's computer when I was 11 years old trying to
don't know what you were trying to do, Dave.
I was trying to install theme park.
Yeah.
On a Windows 98 machine.
So how did you break it?
I ejected a floppy disk halfway through the Windows loading process.
Oh, you bricked it.
I bricked it. I didn't actually brick it.
You definitely bricked it. For some moments.
What did I do? I broke the MBR record, the record that does the boot sequence for Windows.
Right.
It took me 3 weeks, 2 magazines, and on the phone to the Windows help port service when there was a Windows.
Not the ones that phone you up and tell you your computer's fucked.
No. Not the Nigerian prince's Windows support. No, actually, Windows, Microsoft Windows support helpline.
So you were doing all this when you were 11?
Yep.
Nice.
And so yeah, so that was my introduction of fuck, I broke it. Like, all my mum's work and business was on this computer, and yeah, so but since then I've always had a passion for it. And yeah,
what kind of shit were you in?
Breaking my mum's PC?
Yeah, really deep.
this is everything to do with
collapse.
Basically, it was. Like, my mum was in tears.
Oh no!
There was hundreds of hours of work and spreadsheets and payroll and like, yeah, it was not good. And since after that, I have my own computer. So, like, not only
funny that,
did I fix my computer, but I got a dedicated computer. It was a shitty one, but it was a dedicated computer to get me off the PC that my mum had. Yeah.
So you have some qualifications here on this.
Yeah.
What about modern? Let's talk gaming PCs, building gaming PCs relatively recently. You know, where are we now? Like, my history is I just decided like 12 years ago or whatever, or 10 years ago, like, I'm going to build I need a PC. I'm going to build one. I know there's money to be saved here. That was my driving force, right? So this, I suppose, answers the question. Is the driving force for me was I didn't have a lot of money to put towards a PC. Or that's not true. My driving force is always, how can I save money?
Yeah. Right?
How can I save money doing this so I can spend money doing something else?
Yeah.
And plus, I'm a nerd. Plus, I'm an engineer. Plus, you know, I've always taken stuff apart. It's like, I can fucking do this, right? Mm-hmm. What's the worst that can happen?
Building your PC is generally about putting things together rather than taking them apart. Hopefully, anyway.
Yeah. So I built my wife's PC. Then a couple of years later, I built my first gaming PC. And then I built this PC that I'm on right now. And then I built my daughter's PC. And I'm just about to take first gaming PC.
Constantly building PCs.
Now it's a constant turnover. So now we've reached the point where now my son's PC, which is my first gaming PC, is not cutting the mustard. So, like, he can't play Warzone. He can't play PUBG. He's struggling to play some stuff. So we've just ordered new parts. And this is the thing about this is where it's now payback time, right? Because I bought a decent power supply. The hard drives are already bought. The case is already bought. So all I had to do now was go and buy the motherboard, the CPU, the RAM.
Just
and,
this,
a,
this,
and
this,
a new
this,
graphics this. Card. Yeah, now I'm not saying a new case. Yeah, well, we might get a new case later. But what I'm saying is we're reusing parts or whatever like that. Let's, you know, the theory is there, right? I mean, yeah, it's not cheap, but I'm upgrading to a decent machine for today. For it's probably going to be, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, say $500, right? And it's going to shit on anything else, you know, that you could buy.
Yeah, the thing with PC is, like you said, you can choose your pace to upgrade, can't you? Whereas consoles, it's like, obviously, this year is going to be a big year. This new Xbox, new PlayStation. They're going to cost you however much they're going to cost you. Guessing quite a lot this year, this time around, versus previous times. If you've got a PC, you like, I'm going to go in at whatever level. I want to play X game. I want it to play however good it's going to play at whatever. Am I going to play at 1080p? Am I going to play at 4K? I'm going to either spend a shitload of money or I'm going to spend as little as possible. And I want, at the end of the day, I want this to be the case.
Yeah.
And in 2 years' time, I go, I'm not happy with where I am now. I want to go a next step up, or this is not as good as it needs to be. I need to upgrade this, and you can do it piecemeal.
Yeah,
which hardware wise probably works out more expensive in the long run, but you can save so much money on software.
Dave, you got something to say there?
The thing with me is that, like, I've built my PCs recently around, I'm only gaming at 1080p. I'm restricted to 1080p because I've got two really good BenQ monitors that are 1080p, 60 hertz. And I'm happy with my monitors. So I know I'm not going to do 4K gaming or 2K gaming, which is the halfway in between. And I'm not going to do more than 60 frames per second. So the PC that I've gone for, and the parts that I've gone for, have gone for probably the best possible. It can do 4K, but it's still doing the best for the money. Doing
bang for a buck.
Yeah,
it's doing bang 1080. For a buck. Yeah, it's bang for a buck at 1080p. And I think I'm the same as you, Dave. And I just want to Welsh Benno said, I was looking at getting a pre-built, but perhaps I should check out building one myself. Is the price difference worth the hassle?
It can be, but sometimes you can pick up a pre-built that's just so much less hassle and is.
So, right, with my latest PC, I'm going to admit I cheated slightly this time around. My latest one. So I was looking at websites at parts. So all the different parts. So a new power supply, RAM, motherboard, CPU, graphics card, and case. I wanted it all new, all brand spanking new. I still got my old one. It's still sitting next to there. I'm probably going to give it to my daughter at some point. So I was looking for price on end, but it was over, I think it was Black Friday or a little bit after. There was a website selling the case, the motherboard, CPU, and graphics card, a decent graphics card, an AMD, I can't remember exactly what it is now.
You're on a 5700, aren't you?
Can't remember, mate. Hang on, let's just have a look. AMD. But there was, it was basically selling them for cheaper in a bundle than what it would have been separate. About 100 quid cheaper. Right. RX 5700. Which is a good graphics card. It's an okay graphics card.
That is 4K. Definitely... At 1080p, you're getting max settings, basically, yeah. Of 5700. If you go to 1440p, you might not get max settings on some games, but you'll get it on other games.
Yeah. So it hit my criteria exactly where I wanted it. It was the best and cheapest for 1080p, and it's okay for things going above that. And then I always have 16 gig of RAM. Anybody that asks me, I always say, get 16 gig of RAM, the fastest you can afford. And then you're probably the same. I always have a SSD for my Windows, a boot. I used to run a 256 boot SSD, but that's very restrictive and you've got to do a lot of management. So I actually have a terabyte. SSD, and I've got a 2 terabyte hard drive for games and other stuff and pictures and videos and stuff, and then a CPU, a good one.
So I think answering him, yes, getting a pre-built, if you can get a right pre-built deal, that's fair enough. I consider there to be value in the project itself. So, but if
you depends what you want to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it depends what you want to do. So, I like saving money. I like tinkering. I like building. I like the satisfaction of making something. So, for me, yes.
Yeah.
I would never buy a pre-built. And I would also just point out that you have to be very, just a little bit careful from what I understand on pre-built. Some of the components are very visible, what you're buying. Things like the power supply might not be so visible. And that can be a key component of a build.
Yes. Right? The thing is, what you want to be careful of is, when you're buying PCs, particularly, is where you start. If you're starting from scratch, it's like there's always like the thing with PCs is you can upgrade by part in the future. So if you want to start, if you start from scratch, you might have a budget in mind and say, I only want to spend X amount of pounds, which may within. You can get what you want for the time being, but in the future may cost you a lot more to upgrade.
Yeah.
Whereas if you spend a little bit more at the beginning, you may be able to upgrade to the next step for less than if you'd have shelled out that little bit more at the start.
Yeah, and I'll give you an example on that. Was my first build was an i3-3220, whatever motherboard. And a couple of years down the line, I was like, I'd really like this to go faster, and I couldn't. There was no upgrade path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For whatever reason it was. I can't remember why.
I had that on my last PC. I was restricted to an i5 at 3.7 gigahertz because the CPU the motherboard could only support that CPU, and that CPU and that line was the best it could be.
Right.
So to upgrade it further, I was going to have to get a new motherboard, new CPU, more RAM, upgraded RAM, because it was the version 3? I can't remember what it is now.
DDR4 now on RAM.
Yeah, it was DDR3, and now it's DDR4. And that's why I was like, I just want to get a new PC. It's still a good PC, it will run most games very well. It was a 980 graphics card. But yeah, like to do that step, it was a whole new build, pretty much.
Is complicated. There's no doubt about it. You can't say I can't just say to someone, do this.
That's a very good point. You know, you have to be very careful when you're saying to people, yeah, you should definitely build your own PC, because that could come back to bite you, because not everyone is the same. Is it easy? If you're as nerdy as us, yes. You know,
it's not difficult to do the build. It's the difficulty is choosing now what you want and versus what you might want in 2 years' time.
Yeah.
Once you're in, you're in. That's it. You're stuffed because you're
invested.
But you have to, I've done so much PC reading over the last 6 months because of building. I had a massive break after I built mine of 2 years. And then suddenly the last 6 months, all I've been doing is reading up on processors, watching videos, so that it's funny. I can make out, I know what I'm talking about. But in 6 months' time, I might have no idea what's going on.
In 6 months' time, it sounds like graphics cards are going to be a whole new conversation in 6 months' time.
Right. But I suppose what I'm trying to say is just you're involved in a project, right? That's what it is. Building a PC is a massive project, really. You know, some people might not consider it a massive project, but really starting from scratch and building a PC is a massive undertaking of your time and effort, because you have to read. You are going to have to read. I mean, someone can say to you, here's all the stuff you need. If somebody just sends you the components to build, says, well, I've got $600 to spend or whatever. Yeah, you should buy A, B, and C. So you go, okay, I buy A, B, and C. You're already losing the battle a little bit, because you really should have those in your mind that that's what you want. I just think just having the part, it's not a fucking jigsaw, right? There's way more to it than that. You know, shit goes wrong. You have to go and investigate. So unless your friend is the one you're going to call when it doesn't work. I mean, right. When it doesn't boot up. So
Jay's question specifically about how he wants to play a specific game at whatever high ultra, say, or the best possible settings he can amount of money. Should we have read it?
Yeah, so Jay says, I want to play Planet Coaster on at least its high settings. I need a PC to do it. I want to spend as little as possible. Go.
So, well, we could be here for hours. So that is fine as a starting point, but once you start, you're like, all of a sudden, this is how it starts with PC games. You want to play a game that you can't play on a console. That's how you generally get started. It's like, I can't really remember why I started, because I used to constantly play Xbox, and I was my brother was always on PC. He was like, you should get PC. It's way better. It was constantly showing, spinning around, in GTA 5, going, look how much better the frame rate is. I was like, I don't give a shit. I don't stand there spinning around in the stationary, just spinning around and seeing the 60 frames per second. So I used 30 frames per second is fine. But once you've been there, And you've got to that 60 frames per second, and you go back and you go,
that restaurant. Yeah, why do I need to eat? I love McDonald's. Oh, actually, you know what? That steak is really good.
Yeah, exactly. So once you go down the road of going to PC and going, yeah, actually, that is quite a lot better. And all these other games that I used to play shitloads better on PC, which may well change in the next 6 months, bearing in mind what's going on in the world and like terms of console upgrades. Having said that, we don't know how much the new ones are going to cost. You may want to invest. It's difficult because I've got so many fucking games. That's like another thing, the PC thing is like, I started on PC because I can't even remember what it was. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to build a PC. And it cost me maybe 700 quid to get started. Bearing in mind, I started with no monitor, no keyboards, no no mouse. Because that's a whole nother fucking world you can... accessories.
I know. I definitely want to talk about that as well. But I'm going to roll that into Colm's email. Colm's tweet, because that's coming. So I'm just going to try and just corral us just to stay on topic a little bit here. Jay wants a PC to spend as little as possible. And Colm as well said, is it possible to build a decent gaming PC for 500 euros?
Absolutely.
So let's make some assumptions here, right? Because Neil raises very, very good points. But let's make some assumptions here. We're talking 1080p gaming, right?
Mm-hmm. You need something to a screen.
We're talking 1080p gaming. We're going to assume you have a keyboard. We're going to assume you have a mouse. And we're going to assume you have a copy of Windows. Okay.
Well, that is like, I'm not being funny. That is a major amount of money.
Yeah.
A copy of Windows is like 130 quid.
Yeah.
If you want to go straight to Microsoft.
And I was very lucky. I have friends who work for Microsoft. So I picked up. I managed to snag a couple of copies cheap, so now everyone in my family has them. But yeah, so those.
You've actually gone off the.
He's got a legit copy. See, my legit inverted commas copy of Windows, I picked up on a Groupon.
Oh yeah, see, nice.
From some random place in fucking the Netherlands, cost me 30 odd quid.
Yeah.
Whereas if I literally go to Microsoft or I pay for it through a retailer in the UK, it's literally 130 quid just for Windows.
Yeah, right. Right. And let's not forget though that I was running Windows 10 home demo or something like, I don't know, and it constantly had a watermark at the bottom.
It works completely fine, doesn't it? You can download Windows for zero.
I worked fine and I got by for 2 years. So actually you can almost dismiss that Windows cost. You are going to need a copy of Windows. Keyboard and mouse. I mean,
it's up to you how much you spend.
It's up to you how much you spend. Yeah, you probably, whatever.
Spend at least 200 quid.
Mouses, anything from like 10 bucks a piece up to hundreds, right? So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's subjective. We all, I bet all of us are sitting here in front of glowing keyboards with multicolor RGB shit, right? Why not, right? Whatever.
Yeah, that's another whole thing with your components can cost the same thing, basically can cost a lot different depending on what bells and whistles you want and stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure, you spend what you want to spend. Okay, so to answer these guys' questions about a machine that would do it, so I'm just basing here off the if you go to PC Master Race and look at their builds, they're very good in keeping up to date on what is a good budget build. So they have a build here. And if I go into PC, their bottom build is a starter build. No problems. You're going to play everything on high to ultra on 1080p. And your frames are going to be just fine. So let's assume that answers Jay's question. This would be
How much are they saying?
I'm just going to pull that out. Who uses Euros?
See, I think personally... Rick, excluding monitor, keyboards, components, all that sort of external shit, I reckon you need to spend 700 quid to pretty much everything.
Colm says 500 euros. I would say the minimum that the PC Master Race is saying is one of the new... You can build for less. You can definitely build for 500 euros because you could use... There's chips that will do it, whatever. So yeah, you can, right, Dave? 500 euros for sure.
Easy. Yeah, if you could even go cheaper if you're buying some stuff off eBay and stuff, but
I'm going to drop a link. I'll drop a link to PC Part Picker. There has basic builds there, and you'll see on their basic starter build, which will do 1080p, everything all fine. Yes, that would be definitely a PC. If you're not dying for something amazing, this would definitely do you. Actually, they've got in there a Gigabyte RX 580 video card at 179 euros. You could probably drop that down to a 1650 easy. So 500 euros.
Is that going to be much cheaper, though?
I'm not sure it would.
Not a massive amount, but they're also running.
Another thing is the prices can fucking change by the day. So you might be able to get an amazing deal one day and the next day it's gone. So.
Well, they're running the 3300X in their build. You could go to a 3100. Yeah.
I'm seeing a 3300X, which is it's a Ryzen 3, which is not your i7s of the old. Like, another thing is, a lot of the games you see recommended specs might say i7, blah, 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 after it. The blah, 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 after it is actually really crucial because that is quite often a lot older than the current generation of chips, which may think you need an i7 of the current generation because a lot of the times you won't be able to buy what it says you need, the minimum spec, because it's old.
Yeah.
And the newer stuff is so much more advanced than the older stuff that you don't need an i7 now. And obviously if it's a Ryzen, you're talking a completely different version of CPU.
Yeah. Well, the piece of news probably right now, which I think is most relevant here, is that Ryzen released this chip called the 3300X. And basically they are saying it runs the equivalent of an i7-7700K from 3 years.
Yeah, and that is literally more than I had in my old PC.
Yeah, that's a $400 chip, and now this Ryzen 3 is a 120 quid or something.
Yeah, so 120 quid is the latest I saw it today.
So you are getting bang for your buck with that for sure right now, better than it's ever been. So good luck if you can find one. I reckon they're going to sell out, but whatever.
The 3300Xs are still available. The 3100s, less so. It would seem at the moment. Because the 3100, even though it sounds underpowered, inverted commas, is so much better than what you could get 3 years ago.
Right, right, exactly. So I'm thinking of swapping mine out for one of them, which I can do, right? So I can give my computer a massive upgrade for $120.
Assuming you've upgraded your BIOS first.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Anyway, that's a whole other story. So the answer to those questions is 500 quid can get you a PC that will just shit on Planet Coaster, no problem at all. Is it possible to build a decent gaming PC for 500 euros? Yes, you know, for sure. Is it, how long is it going to last? Probably not as long as the $600 or $700 euro one, but yeah, you know.
I would definitely spend a little bit. I say a little bit more. 200 quid might sound like a lot more, but that if you get to 700 quid, I think you have given yourself flexibility to go forward. It depends. If you want to spend 500 quid, you can probably spend 500 quid and be happy. But then in 2 years, a year, 2 years, whatever, you might think, actually, if I want to upgrade, then that initial outlay may pay off if you spend a little bit more in the future, having to spend a little bit less to upgrade. Because like you said, Dave, if you wanted to upgrade, like I had my i5-7600, the motherboard would only support up to a 76 series. Then we're now currently Intel up to 10 series, so that's like 8, 9, 10 versions gone, 3 versions advanced. I'd need a whole new motherboard, all new RAM, plus a CPU to upgrade. So that you're looking at like At least 100 quid for a motherboard, at least probably 60, 70 quid for RAM, plus another X amount of pounds for my CPU. Whereas if I, like currently, I outlaid probably more than I needed to on my motherboard, particularly. My motherboard that I bought for the current PC was a bit more than most of the others, but it means, hopefully, fingers crossed, as the way things are planned, I won't have to upgrade that, even if I upgrade my CPU in the next 2 or 3 years. So it is a complicated thing getting into PC gaming, but you've got to set your goal and sort of stick to it, if you like. Like, I am happy to spend X amount of pounds now, and then if that's all I ever need for the next 2 or 3 years, I'm happy. But maybe a year down the line, you're like, oh, actually, I kind of fancy a little upgrade. It might then end up costing you half as much again to upgrade.
Yeah.
So you kind of, it is something you need to think about and plan based on what's coming up.
Yeah.
In my opinion,
I think it's worth having a look at some of these pre-built PCs, looking at the spec around the price that you're looking at, and then go to some of these PC part pickers, because on these PCs that it tells you that's pre-built, it tells you exactly what the products are. And if you go and have a look on even Amazon or Newegg or PC part picker and look at how much these things and add it all up individually, you would be quite surprised at how much you can actually save.
Well,
I was just going to say, because Welsh Benno, he posted the link to
the deal of the month on Scan, I think.
So I took every part they listed and put it into Amazon and just jotted down how much it all added up to. And he was saving money buying it pre-built for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So
there's definitely pre-builts that are decent, but
yeah. At the same time, it was snapped up. Right, so it was almost too good to be true.
And to be honest, that's the site that I got mine off. Scan.
I brought my pre-built last time from Scan, and I was more than happy with it for the 2 years or whatever I used to. And then went, kind of fancy an upgrade, and then like I half built, like I'd already sort of done an intermittent upgrade on my graphics. The thing is, like I said, it's so, like, you can choose this to upgrade, you can choose that to upgrade. If you're happy with whatever you're going to have, I assume, if you're anything like me, you'd be like, yeah, I wish I'd done this after, actually, and I could have just upgraded that, and I could have just upgraded that, and la 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 la, as time goes by. There will come a point where you're like, I literally just need to spend a shed load of money to upgrade completely to this new sort of point in time. But I was happy with what I had. I upgraded my GPU, and then it got to the point where I was like, actually, it's not my GPU that's the problem. I need to upgrade my CPU. And that at that point, I was like, I basically need to build a whole new PC because my motherboard was out of date. I couldn't the upgrade I could have got on my CPU was virtually meaningless. So I needed to completely change all of that whole stuff. And it's like, it is a massive minefield that you can get yourself into, but I can't go back to console gaming generally, because I don't want to buy an Xbox Series X or a PS5, honestly. As cool as all of the stuff sounds, I'm like, I don't see enough there to make me spend all that amount of money on a one-off thing that's going to last me who knows how long at the moment. The way things have gone in the console world, maybe it'll only last me 3 years, maybe. Yeah. And the amount of money I'm spending on games, and games that I can play on PC that you literally cannot get on consoles, because as much as there are console exclusives, there's a whole load of stuff on PC that literally A, doesn't play as well on consoles, or B, is literally not available. There's a whole load of stuff that well, is exclusive to PC.
Just the fact that you're keyboard and mousing, like there's games you can't, you just can't play on console. Like it's never going to happen, right?
And like PUBG, the game that we all met through, was literally a PC exclusive for what, 18 months?
Yeah.
And there's games like, if you look through Steam, the GTFO game, get the fuck out, obviously, is what it stands for. That game is not coming to console anytime soon, as far as I can see. There's a whole load of games. It depends on what type of game you're into.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a whole generation of games that you ain't going to get on consoles that you're going to get on PCs.
I think there's an argument for the opposite as well. I think there's a lot
exactly.
of games on consoles that you don't get on PC, but the sheer amount of games on PC and the fact that they are very cheap.
Possibly. You can the choice of where you can buy games and how much you can pay for them.
And there's multiple different sites doing free games or you know, good old games. Epic Games do a free game every couple of weeks.
Okay. You know what? I'm not going to... these are all very good points. I think we're drifting away again, back going to the pros and cons of PCs versus... Yep. We don't need to explain that to anyone. Like we all know that, right? Everyone's heard it 100 times. So let's try and stay on track with building PCs.
Okay.
So I think we've answered the questions there. So let's talk about actually physically building a PC.
Oh, okay.
Right. So that process, I think, and then we can wrap it up and just and finish.
So you will need a few bits and pieces, other than components, to build a PC.
Can I just say that when you go out and buy all your, if you are going to build your own, when you go out and buy all your bits or you've collated them all together and you put them on the table to take a picture to send to all your, it's all arrived. It is some of the best feeling in the world ever, right?
I think it's the best and then also the scariest.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Now here we go then.
Yeah.
I suppose I'm building this fucker thing now.
Yep. So
this is the next 4 hours of my life.
And hopefully I don't fuck it up.
I don't think I... So I love it. I mean, all the shiny boxes and you get your CPU. I like to see the CPU. Like I showed it to my wife the other day. I go, look, this is the CPU that's going in your... Oh, yeah.
She was like...
Because I upgraded my wife's PC the other day, right? So
yeah.
I kept everything. I told you all about that. So like I got the CPU. I went, hey, look, here's the CPU that's going in there. It is just...
And she went, yeah, that's a nice box.
It's a silver coin thing, right? That she just put in front of her. It means nothing at all. And and I laughed about it with her, right? But that's where the mindset is. You're like, holy shit, I got all this stuff. You
understand that this is doing like millions of like ones and zeros like every second just to do is that yeah so whatever
yeah.
It's like okay fine
yeah there is I think that there's that as you know from my point of view like to actually see physically see this shit that you're putting together right and how complicated it is,
It is. Massively high tech. This is like tens of years of you know the industrial and like computer engineering world and like all these clean rooms and like massively complicated and very clever people coming together like and putting like brain to paper and like designing how all these systems are sort of integrated in a tiny little like inch by inch you know tiny bit of silicon squeezed between two bits of metal with some pins on the back, and the missus and the, you know my missus is definitely like yeah, and I just wanted to, do this. It's like,
yeah.
Can I add 2 + 2?
That's you know that's the beauty of it, right? It's just you know you pick up I pick up a motherboard, and I'm always fascinated. Just I could just stare at motherboards. It's just like what is going on in there. Like there's so much on it, right? And connections, everything like that. And
well, even in like 10 years, like you think of a motherboard. Oh, it's the motherboard, but it has actually changed and evolved over the last 10 years. From when I started out.
Probably less than that.
Yeah.
It's massively changed, and there used to be like Southbridge and Northbridge, and there used to be like parts of the motherboard that used to talk to different bits like in a certain way, and the fact that that's all changed now, and the sort of making parts of the motherboard actually having its own sort of CPU within it to talk to itself and manage the load of information. It's massive.
Yeah. So that's a very good point, Dave, because you have to understand. I would not like to have built a PC 15 years ago. That to me sounds like it was probably a nightmare compared to and for all that we say, I mean, it's literally plug and play. So you're grabbing your.
But as long as you pick the right pieces.
Okay. Assume you've bought the right pieces or someone has recommended. I mean, you are still plugging and playing components that are meant to go together. They don't ever, nothing ever rarely goes where it's not, almost can't go where it's not meant to go. Mm-hmm. That's where it's at right now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Everything is, you know.
Yeah, so if it doesn't plug in, you're like, I guess I've bought the wrong piece here.
going in the wrong spot, right? So it's doable. It is like a puzzle. It is a challenge. You know, you get
and there are websites to help you out with this, and they it has the full. If you put the parts in it, it actually like tells you what you can and can't put.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah, most websites, if you're building like from parts, it will like go. Are you sure you like basically like these don't fit together? Are you sure you want to do this kind of thing?
Yeah, so they are. You know, even the websites that the ordering from. Are a bit clever about that now, as well, the ones that are specifically PC related. And that's what I do with my PCs. That, like, I get to a point where I've picked my parts, you know, I've looked at PCs, I've picked my parts, I know which bits I want, and I will still put those bits through a number of different websites. First of all, to see a price comparison on those websites to see if I can get it cheaper anywhere else. And also just to make sure that those websites say I can use those parts between on those items. Because even if one website says it can, another website might give you a warning or might say, oh, this is an older spec part. And it might be information that you know already, but it's nice to have that confirmed to you from these websites to say what, you know, the compatibility between the parts as well.
Yeah.
That's one thing about buying something that's already made is that you know it will actually fucking work when you buy it. When it turns up, you just basically plug the wires in and it will fucking work.
Turn it on, it doesn't work. Turn it back.
Didn't we know somebody? I'm sure I heard somebody got one delivered and it was just a dog, right?
I don't know anyone who's ever bought a pre-built PC that's actually not fucking worked.
Okay, all right, anyway, so yeah,
the thing is, like I say, that the premium you pay, which sometimes is very, very little, in fact sometimes negative, for a built PC versus building it yourself, it might sometimes be worth it if you've never done it before. It might be worth that. Maybe it's literally sometimes like about a tenner for someone to build it for you. And sometimes the saving just on Windows, like I say, if you literally buy Windows from Microsoft, it's like 130 quid. If you can get a PC built with all the parts you want, and then you look at it individually, sometimes you won't be able to build it yourself. Plus then buy the copy of Windows for the same price that people are offering to do it for you. And once you've got it, you can do that piecemeal upgrade. Like, you can buy the new graphics card in a year's time, 2 years time, 3 years time, whatever, or you can buy the CPU upgrade. If you pick it right at the first point, the next upgrade that you might want to make isn't necessarily going to cost you an arm and a leg or a whole new fucking build.
We're covering old ground again. So so building it, yeah. Where are we? How do we round this out on the process? So
it's not a very easy answer. It's best to speak to somebody direct if you're in any doubt.
Have a
buddy. I always say to people, get in touch, arrange a conversation. We will speak to some people and advise.
The thing about people who build PCs is they love giving advice or answering questions about people, which is how this came about, right? You know, people are mentioning it, and I haven't really ever. I suppose actually, since we came online, you two, and Kevin, we've had quite a good close group of all of us have built PCs or into PCs or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So that's been quite good to sort of bounce stuff off. Because before that, I never really had anyone to talk to about it. So, yeah, it's cool. It's cool. You'll never build one and not have an issue. Everyone I've built hasn't booted up or something like that, and I've shit myself. This feeling of dread. So you can't hide this. Like I think everyone I've built so far, I've had an issue with. I get a massive feeling of dread in my stomach and this pit and ball. And I go, oh my God, it doesn't work. And then I figure it out. And it's like, you know, whatever.
So, yeah.
If you are going to go for the building thing, there's a few bits of kit that is definitely worth investing in. Not mega expensive. Like the whole, I've got a strap that I put on my arm.
Nice.
And it basically, there's certain things in your house, everyday things that you can plug it, like attach it to, which means you're earth, then you won't fucking fry a piece of electronic equipment, like without even noticing you've done it. Like your radiators are all earthed.
Yep.
If you have radiators in your house, so you have a strap on your arm. There's a little clip on the other end of a flexible piece of wire. Clip it to your radiator, and it means hopefully you won't fucking fry it, a chip or whatever that completely annihilates everything you've done.
So that's just so people don't know, that's to stop any radiant static electricity zapping the CPU or graphics card and frying the circuits. It's quite important you do that. Don't run across a carpet before.
Especially if you've got like a polyester carpet and you're wearing socks or whatever, and you happen to be touching your motherboard and you rub your foot across your carpet, you might generate static electricity and all that sort of shit. But it's so minimal cost to buy the bits and pieces that you need to make sure that you don't fuck things up like easily.
I've built PCs and I forgot to seat the RAM correctly. The noise that the PC makes, the complaint beep that to say that it can't find the RAM is so hideous. It's, you switch it on, it's like, as soon as you switch it on, it's a beep! It's like, what the hell? Switch it off. And it's like, what's gone on? And it's basically, I didn't click in the RAM.
Not quite pushed the RAM in far enough.
Yeah. There's, you know, I've plugged the power cable into the back, forgot to switch the switch on the back on correctly. Goes, oh no, it's not switching on. Like, took the whole PC apart, took everything apart, checked all the power cables. It's like, plugged it back in, went, oh, what's this switch? Click. Which straight back on, it's like, oh, you twat. There's quite a few things that
I know that, with my daughter's machine, it wouldn't work, and then I moved the graphics card into a different slot, and it seemed to like that better. My wife's PC last week wouldn't boot up, and I just took the RAM out and put it back in again. It seemed to like that. And it also, the motherboard had a fault finding light on it, which didn't tell me exactly what I needed to know, but I thought it was pretty neat anyway. So that's quite interesting. So there's always something, right? So
But all of this is basically, do your research, look at it. There's the information is out there. There's multiple different ways of you finding the information that you need. What you need to do first is, what do you want?
Yeah,
and that's the key.
And how much you need to pay for it? Yeah.
If your primary concern is X amount of pounds, then obviously that is where you start, and you tailor your build to that. If you want to target a certain performance, then you may need to flex how much you want to spend, because things change. How much things cost changes almost by the day, possibly by the hour. If you're buying multiple different components, some days RAM is really fucking expensive, and other days it's not. So if you're building, if you're piecemeal building, buying, or also that obviously affects a pre-build price. Some days, well, the builds, the pre-build prices won't fluctuate as much, but as much as the individual parts. But depending on what's going on in the world, sometimes RAM is really fucking expensive, and other times it's not.
Power supplies are a problem, apparently, this year.
What's that?
Power supplies are a problem. So
there's websites that track all the, you know, the standard pricing for all the components and stuff. So have a look.
If you start to sort of like really price watch, that's a whole nother story, right?
Yeah. If you really price watching, you'll never fucking commit. That's the problem. At some point, you just gotta go bang. I'm off.
I've got a friend in my old job that, like, any time, like, you know, because I like to talk about PCs and what I'm going to get. Anytime I'd say, oh, I was looking at getting this, there'd always be, oh no, they're going to release, I don't know, the new CPU in a few hours. You want to wait for that? And like, what I worked out is this person actually never bought their own PC, because they're pretty much always waiting for the next thing to come out, and the next upgrade, and the next newest thing. And it is a trap to fall down, that, you know, you can be waiting forever for the next newest thing. There's always the next newest thing. Yeah. Always.
They never come out at the same time. Whereas, like I say, the consoles, this is a new console. This is how much it costs now. And gradually, over the next few years, it will probably come down. With PCs, it's like, these are all of the things you can buy now. In 6 months' time, there's probably going to be a new thing.
It's going to be
which you might want to spend some more money.
These are going to be more. These are going to be less. These are going to be more. These are going to be. Less. It's just just get on with it, haven't you? I know
you've got to like put your sort of. This is what I want, and I'm going to go with it. And either A, I'm going to be happy with that, or B, at the back of my mind, I might want to upgrade, and therefore I need to possibly spend a bit more and flex a little bit to make sure I have those paths up to upgrade in the future that ain't going to cost a shitload of money to just change everything.
Right. Last bit of helpful advice on this before we go on to something else. Right. Once you've done your research and you've bought what you want to buy, don't then continue to research.
Yeah.
Because you will always find, it's only after you've purchased it that every single negative review, comment about it. And it's true. Like, with mine, like, I'd spent about 2 weeks looking at the parts for mine that I wanted, and I spent the money. And as soon as I went on to just, oh, I'll just double check this, then I found all the negative things. And people having problems with them, and you know, not working from day one and stuff like that. And by the time I actually got to my house, I was like, oh god, like, I was so worried about it. But it's I don't know why. It's just as soon as you've purchased something, and you look into it further.
Once you've committed, you fucking look for at least 6 months.
Buying some, you know, I think that's the thing we just over the last few minutes have said, like, it's very volatile, right? Constantly evolving or whatever. And that's the fascination with it, right? And I mean, it made me laugh this week. I'm convinced 3300X chip of the decade, man. I reckon this is just going to be great. It's only been out like, what, 2 months, if that? And
not even that, mate. It's about 2 weeks, really.
Somebody was saying, look out, there's going to be some next-gen ones around the corner. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, they're going high-spec ones next. The XTs are coming, like 3900s or whatever, isn't it? I don't want to look at CPUs for the next little while. I spent a lot of time. That was my big upgrade from the last time. I'd already upgraded my GPU, my graphics card, from when I first bought my previous PC. I was like, the next thing is going to be CPU upgrade. And that, like I say, at the time I was looking, it was like, I can't really upgrade my CPU a lot without changing everything, like motherboard and la la la. So I went, fuck it, I'm going to buy a new case, a new motherboard, new RAM, new CPU, and move my my graphics card from my other PC, and then I used my old PC somewhere else. That potentially could be, in normal times, something you may be able to sell on. Yeah. It's a bit difficult to do that sort of shit these days for the next couple of months, maybe. In the next couple of months, maybe that will loosen up. Who knows? But
there's I got stuck between two thoughts. I was like, well, I'm buying all the components for my son's, from my old PC to give it new life. You know, although I sort of like, you know, maybe I just built, like, I'm close. Maybe I just buy another power. And I was like, oh, now I got to buy a power supply, drives or whatever. I was thinking about donating it, right? Like, is there someone I can give it to or whatever? But fuck that. Sorry, kid.
That just means that you're going to be responsible for
it. You donated it somewhere in your own house.
For it. They're going to come to me for technical help.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to buy a new power supply case and all that other stuff to replace what I haven't bought. Off, you know. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. As soon as you start telling people you've built your own PC, you're then responsible for everybody else's PCs that you've told them that as well, yeah. Because they will come to you for every problem that they have about it.
Right. But there is something cool about when you've built it, you're like, fuck yeah, I built my own PC.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it all fucking works. Yes, yeah.
And you feel very, very cool about it. So that's a good point for us, I think, to finish. It's just like, if you do build one, you're the man, right? Or woman. It's you know, it's quite the big thing, I think, to be able to say, yeah, I built a PC,
right? It is a combination of like tens of hours of like thought, investigation, you know, hard graft, putting it together correctly.
The putting things together, honestly, there's so many videos. It's not that difficult to actually physically put the things together.
It's not hard.
As long as you take the right precautions at the beginning, like I say, make sure you've got like an earthing point and stuff like that. You're probably all right just touching your radiators, to be fair. But if you're a little bit paranoid, get a strap for your wrist. But it's just like, it does feel good when it finally, it doesn't take that long even to put things together. Make sure you've reused the right fucking screws in the right fucking hole and stuff like that. Spend those extra few moments going, is that the right screw? I'm not 100% certain that is the right screw. Maybe I'll just double check, because I didn't do that when I put my motherboard in and went, yeah, this isn't working quite right. This doesn't feel quite right. But if I'd have spent those extra 5 minutes, maybe I would have worked out it was the right screw. Would have saved you a lot of stress in the long run. So it's not difficult once you've got all the right parts, and there's loads of resources, and there's loads of people willing to help you put those bits together, including us, if you want to contact us via whatever means.
Sure. Okay. I think that's a great point to finish. I don't think we're going to get to the news, if you guys are okay with that.
Oh, that's so much good news.
I think we're there. We're 2.5 hours. I think.
Is it really? Shit. I'm done.
Next week. Sorry, Neil. Or Dave.
So I threw that together quite quickly. Don't worry.
All right. Okay. So I hope you found that interesting. I think it's very interesting. So yeah, cool. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get out of here then. Until next time. Thank you from me.
Thank you from me.
And I.
All right. Let's get out of here then. Catch you later.
All right.
Bye.